This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This from Dale to start the show, Denton. Dale wrote me and said, Kevin, if you're going to be right about 10-7, then they better find a kicker. Remind me why they got rid of Dustin Hopkins. The Browns just extended him. Dale, there's news on the kicker front. If you're just waking up or you're just starting to pay attention to sports today, Washington traded for a kicker this morning. They traded for the kicker that was in camp in Cleveland with Dustin Hopkins. They sent a 7th-round conditional. By the way, I think I suggested that either last week or early this week, that it's possible that they might send a 7th-round conditional to somebody for a kicker. They sent a 7th-round conditional to the Browns for Cade York, who will join the fray here, although the fray has now been eliminated or reduced down to one because Riley Patterson was released with the trading for Cade York. But let me make one thing clear, and I'll go through Cade York's background here and give you the numbers for the one season that he kicked in Cleveland before he was replaced by Dustin Hopkins. And that is, I don't think it's over yet. A 7th-round conditional is probably conditional on him making the team and kicking in a certain number of games. And so they still could be very active on Tuesday with the waiver wire. That this will be a fluid situation until they find somebody that they're confident in. This is not the final story just because it was a trade. Good morning, everybody. Dan Quinn is going to join us on the show today at 10:25. So 20 minutes from now, the head coach of your Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, will be on the show. You will also hear later on in the show Chris Cooley, who will join us to talk about what he's seen so far with Jaden Daniels. I had him do some homework. I had him go watch the All-22 on the 3 series that he's played. He's played 3 of them so far, and he will join us to tell us what he found in those 3 preseason series, the one against the Jets and the 2 against the Dolphins. Charch will make his first appearance. We are in fantasy football draft time right now, so Paul Charchian in his normal football season spot at 11:25. And Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9 will be with us at noon. There was a development yesterday as it relates to D.C., the RFK site, etc. And Eric will explain to us what happened yesterday. It was not anything having to do with the Senate vote on the RFK site bill and progress on that. That seems to still be something that is yet to be resolved. But we'll find out what the city spent nearly, well, more than a half a million dollars on when Eric Flack joins us at noon. So to Dale's email, first of all, let me just mention, they got rid of Dustin Hopkins because Dustin Hopkins, towards the end of his time in Washington, the season prior to being released, and then the season that he finally got released, didn't kick well. You know, he missed that kick, remember, in 2021 against Kansas City. That was a big missed kick. It was from 42 yards out. It was a chip shot. And Washington was in the game. They were actually leading the game against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, 13-10. And he missed a short kick, and that was it. You know, and then we went through Blewett and all the others that came in after that. And it's been kind of a disaster since. By the way, did you know that Dustin Hopkins has kicked in more games than any other kicker in franchise history, with the exception of, obviously, Mark Mosley and Chip Lowmiller? Mosley's one, Lowmiller's two. Dustin Hopkins, third most games kicked as a Washington Redskin, Washington football teamer, or Washington Commander. He never got a chance to kick as a Commander. He was, the year prior in 2020, in the COVID season, he was 79.4% on field goals. That's not good enough. He was 27 to 34. He missed some PATs too. And look, he missed some big kicks during his career. But after going to the Chargers and kicking pretty well, but then getting hurt, he was signed by Cleveland last year, and he had his best season of his career before, by the way, getting hurt last year. And by the way, when he got hurt, you know who replaced him? Riley Patterson. Ironically, he got hurt late in the season, and then Riley Patterson was signed to kick in the final two regular season games and then the playoff game that they had at Houston, which they lost in. But prior to that, it had been Dustin Hopkins' best season in Cleveland, 91.7% on field goals, 33 of 36. He was 8 for 8 on 50 plus and missed just 2 extra points. Now, that's why he got released, though. He did not kick well in 2020, and he did not kick well for Washington in 2021. It wasn't that he was kicking poorly, but he missed a big kick, and that hurt. So, what about the kicker that they signed? This is a guy that kicked one NFL season, one complete NFL season, and it was with the Cleveland Browns. And Cade York kicked for the Browns in 2022. He kicked in all 17 games. He was 75% on field goals. That's not great. He was 24 of 32, and he was 35 of 37 on extra points in that season. And it was his lone season as a kicker in regular season games, and it wasn't great. But he's bounced around. He's had opportunities with various teams, and we'll see what happens here. Again, I'm not counting on him being the kicker in Tampa Bay just because they traded a 7th-round conditional pick for him. I'm just looking to see how many other teams he was on prior to Cleveland. So he kicked at LSU, remember that, 2019 through 2021. No, he was not a teammate of Jaden Daniels. Daniels arrived there in 2022. He was drafted, that's right, in the 4th round by Cleveland in the 2022 draft and had a decent season. But after struggling in the 2023 preseason, so a year ago in the preseason, the Browns had acquired Dustin Hopkins. He was waived. He was on the Titans practice squad last year. He was on the Giants practice squad last year, and then he returned to Cleveland to, you know, compete with, but not beat out, but just be there in the event that Dustin Hopkins, you know, didn't stay healthy or wasn't healthy coming back, and now he's been traded to Washington. So here's a question that makes sense to me, and that is, why do you trade for Cade York instead of just picking him up off waivers on Tuesday at 4 p.m.? You know he's going to be released. Dustin Hopkins just got signed to a 3-year contract extension to be the Browns kicker for the next 3 years. It's a good question. I think the answer is they want him to kick right now. They want to find out the rest of this week and on Sunday night against New England if he's worth keeping. You know, will they have to make a waiver wire claim on Tuesday on a kicker? And they still may do it even if they like some of what they see to keep the competition going for Cade York. But is it, you know, would they have just given him on Tuesday? Yes, but we're talking about 5 days later. They don't get a chance to see him this week. They don't get a chance to see him in a preseason game on Sunday night. And who knows if he really impresses here. And he's got a big leg, by the way. He booted a 58-yarder in 2022 with the Browns. So that was, you know, that was a he's got a huge leg, and that's something that's been known about Cade York since he's been in the league. He's been just a little wobbly, inconsistent on kicks. You know, he missed 3 kicks in 2022 from 30 to 39 yards. He missed 5 kicks from 30 to 49 yards. He was 4 of 7, 50 beyond. You want your kickers in today's day and age to be close to 90% on everything inside 50. And he wasn't close to that in 2022. But it's a legitimate question, and I'm sure you're wondering, well, just ask Dan Quinn when he's on at 10:25. Yeah, that would be a great question to ask, something about the kicker. But I'm going to tell you right now that we recorded the interview with Dan Quinn yesterday afternoon. And while we did talk Riley Patterson and kicker for about 3 or 4 minutes, it's no longer relevant. It's what we call in the biz dated. And so we have edited that portion out. I will tell you that he mentioned to me that they were, you know, very much, you know, anticipating a flood of kickers being available on Tuesday at 4 p.m. and they had been doing their homework on kickers. But beyond that, you know, there was no indication, even though I suggested the possibility of a potential new kicker between now and Sunday night. There was no suggestion, nor should there have been. He shouldn't have told me before it happened that they were going to trade for Cade York. And you know what? It's possible that he didn't even know that this is an Adam Peters move. I would think that the head coach would know. But anyway, Cade York, kicker for the Cleveland Browns, bounced around just 1 year in the league, kicking 2022. And he was just 75%, 24 of 32 on field goals with the Browns in 2022. Washington has sent a conditional 7th-round pick to the Browns to acquire York, and Riley Patterson was waived. So there it is. All right, I wanted to wanted to read something. This came from Alvin P. Alvin P. said, "Stop talking about Jaden getting out of bounds. The young man is a dog. You can't take that out of him. You start trying, you take away the best part of his game." Our good friend and one of my favorite people to have on the show, as a guest on the show, is Paulie. And Paulie wrote, "Listen, the sliding or getting out of bounds conversation is overblown. How about not calling read option plays in the preseason if you don't want him to risk getting hit? Don't seem to remember Kyle calling read option plays for RG3 in the preseason." That's true. He might not have slid or gotten out of bounds, but as soon as he felt pressure and contact, he dropped right to the field. Yes, he could have ran to the sidelines or slid, and the defender could have taken a shot at him anyways. Long story short, he plays football. He's going to get hit. So I put this on Cliff for putting him in that situation in the first place. This conversation about Jaden Daniels and, you know, sliding, not taking hits, and it's gotten a little bit out of control, because I think that those of you that want to be, you know, 100% Doc Walker, it's a manhood issue, this is football, this is tackle football, I think you believe that people that want him to slide in a preseason game don't understand that. That's not true. I want this dude running. You know, I want this guy, you know, on third and nine in the fourth quarter of a regular season game that's close to go for it and to put himself at risk, because I want a badass competitor at quarterback, and I think that's what we're getting. So it's really, there's not much of a delta between those that think this is an overblown issue and those that just would prefer that in the preseason he not get tackled when he doesn't need to get tackled. I mean, if you can't understand right place, right time, I can't help you. Now, Paulie's got a point on calling read option plays in the preseason. You know, the big hit that he took against the Dolphins was on the read option keeper, which I think he made the wrong decision on. He kept it, and he got nailed on his left shoulder on the tackle for no gain. After he kept it, that was before the 13-yard keeper where he got tackled as well. But that is not a terrible point made by Paulie. And you are right. I don't remember either Kyle calling any kind of pistol formation read option plays for RG3 in the preseason. We didn't know what was coming when they opened up with New Orleans in the shock and awe game. I mean, we had not... Some of us had seen them line up in pistol and had noticed it in practices. I actually noticed it early on in one of their mini camps, but we didn't know what was coming. We guessed that they would use some of that zone read in red zone situations like Carolina had the year before with Cam Newton, but we had no idea that they were going to line up in pistol and it was going to become a big part of what they were going to do offensively until they opened up against New Orleans. Here's the thing, though. The big difference is nobody was doing what Washington ended up doing in 2012. Everybody kind of understands that with a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, you're probably going to have some read option into the offense. You're going to have some dual threat read option plays as part of the offering. Offensively, it's not like you're going to surprise anybody in the Tampa game by having him run zone read if you didn't do it in the preseason. But it's still a good point by Paulie. You don't need to run read option plays in the preseason where you do put him at some risk. Now, the zone read touchdown run and the zone read 13-yard run were actually blocked, so he had blockers in front of him. Probably, I'm assuming that'll be part of what they do. It won't be pure naked zone read where you read the defensive end or outside linebacker and then it's just you. They'll block it as well. But yeah, it's a good point. And look, I get it. I totally understand those of you who get annoyed with, you know, the idea, which is just the wrong idea, that some people don't want him to get tackled. That's not it. That's not it at all. You just don't want him to take risks and get hit when he doesn't have to, because availability, as we know, is the most important ability a lot of the time. You know, the Sam Fortier conversation that we had the other day, you know, despite the fact that Sam spent, you know, 2 years looking through 3,600 snaps of Jaden's career, bless his heart, that is some research. But I think the conclusion was really interesting, and it was based on all of that research, and that is that he typically hasn't been this player that puts his body at risk in a reckless manner consistently. In fact, the conclusion was that viewing him as somebody who puts his body at risk needlessly or unnecessarily is overstated. And I think if you watched his college career, yes, there were some big hits taken. But more times than not, considering how many times he had the ball as a runner, he wasn't hit. He did slide, or he did get out of bounds. Look, they have to, they have to coach it up, and they've got to make sure that he understands at the NFL level, you know, it's not like you've got 2 5-stars sitting behind you that you can just plug and play if you get hurt. You're basically the reason we're either going to be successful this season or not. And you being available for 17 games is huge in the league because it doesn't happen all the time. And when it doesn't happen, teams are typically in trouble. It's hard to have 2 good ones in the NFL. It's called the salary cap. Nobody is advocating, nobody I know, nobody's advocating for him to stop running or to never take a risk while he's running. You just want him to be available. You know, part of being that dog, Alvin, most of the time is being a smart dog some of the time. And that's all anybody's saying. But Paulie, good point. I don't know why I didn't think of saying, what is he running read option plays for in the preseason? Why does he have him out on the edge, exposed, in the preseason? I don't know. Good question. He did it with all the quarterbacks, but there's only one that we really care about. All right. My conversation interview with Dan Quinn next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
All right, joining me right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, is the head coach of our football team, Dan Quinn. Coach, thanks so much for doing it. Really appreciate it. I want to start with you. What does it feel like so far to be back in the big chair as a head coach again?
Yeah, Kevin, I appreciate it, man. Honestly, having a blast with the guys here. We've had a good camp. We've had, you know, a couple trips. Went up to New Jersey to practice and then go play against the Jets. Went down to Miami, same program, go down to practice and play against them. And then this week, you know, finally get to come back home, man. But it's been cool, you know, putting the whole thing together with Adam, with Josh, with the staff, the players. So, like, there's a lot of energy here in our building at practice, the way the guys are competing. And honestly, I hope that's what you and the fans and our families and friends see us. And, man, these guys are absolutely bringing it. And that's the play style and the identity that I'm, you know, hoping you and everybody else is going to see when we get this thing rocking.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that there is definitely a vibe that is upbeat and optimistic so far. But I want to ask you, because we're all big football fans and we kind of understand what this time of the year means. Is it even remotely possible to know truly how things are going before you've played a real game?
I'd say it's a good question. One, I think you'll want to know, like, where's the health of the team? How are you doing? That thing, because that's a real factor. The second thing is, for us, having not played any regular season games together, I'd say that's a little harder to predict. But what I can tell you, what I see at practice, good practice habits, the finishing, taking care of the ball. So, like, the habits, you know, that you have, they don't get tacked on, Kevin, at the end of a championship season. They get tacked on when you put in the work to go. So, honestly, I can't tell you where we're at, you know, in terms of the wins. Like you said, we're not in the regular season, but I can tell you that I think you'll like what you're going to see from the guys in terms of attitude and effort and play style. Like, so that part, if you get that part right, then you can add a lot of other things onto it. But if you miss that part, all the scheme and offense or defense in the world isn't going to matter if you don't absolutely bring it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Winning habits don't magically appear in the middle of a season. They're developed early on. I get that. You know, with that understood, though, I think, you know, one of the reasons the NFL is so entertaining, so popular, is that it's so unpredictable. Teams change so much, you know, year to year, week to week, really. How long does it take, and you've been in this league for a long time now, how long does it take before you know what your team really is? How many weeks into the season does it take before you've figured out what you really have in your team?
I'd say it's probably you have to go through a couple of really adverse, tough situations. What you'll know is there are going to be a lot of close games in the NFL. Like, I think last year it might have been damn near 70% of our games were decided by a score or less. So in those close fights, Kevin, in those moments when you see yourself coming out, you know, on the top of those, then you can tell. I'd say usually your, you know, your run game's a little bit behind, tackling's not as sharp as it needs to be because you haven't tackled a lot, and those are things I think you get better as it goes. So, but you have to be in some fights, man. I'd say it's probably halfway through before you really have your team's identity for this season. You've been in some fights. You know who's going to come through in these big moments. So it takes more than a quarter of the season, I would say, for your identity to really take shape, because you got to be in some hard fights.
You know, it's so true. I mean, in life, right? You don't know until you actually face adversity what you have. And, you know, when you do get in those moments, what are you looking for? Because it's not always whether or not you come through with victory, right? It's kind of how you handle the situation altogether.
Yeah, and I think it's funny you bring that up, because I actually talked about that with the team at the end of the game in Miami, to say we didn't come out on the other end like I hoped we would in terms of the score, but there were some cool lessons about what it takes, how to do things. Like, I thought physicality and finishing and those things felt like it should, because that's what playing in our league is about, is winning these small margins and these, you know, big third downs and big moments in a 2 minute to go. So you literally have to be in those fights. So we got better in the 2 days down at Miami, one at a practice and one at the game. It didn't show it in the win-loss column after the game, but I would say there were some players that we needed to find out about, Kevin, that maybe it was an undrafted player, maybe it was a, you know, the third or fourth running back, maybe it was the, you know, the third or fourth tackle to say, man, it got hard and he was every bit down for it. And so sometimes the evaluations come just to a moment or to a player where he gets to prove and demonstrate what he wants to be, how he's going to do things. And when you do that, there's some, you know, there's some good things that come out of those moments.
Yeah, that's it's something that I actually talked about earlier this week. I'm like, look, the tackling this time of year isn't great, but if you watched even through the fourth quarter, guys like 26, you know, Castro, Fields, and Reeves, they're flying around, they're playing with urgency, and that's a really good sign. I'm assuming that's part of what you're talking about.
Yes, because tackling, you have to go and attack. You don't sit back and wait. You know, trap the guy's hip, but you got to run through the hit, and so. Like having the misses, you don't like them, but in some ways it's really important to have some of those, let's call them failures, misses, because if you're able to correct them, the best of the best figure it out. Okay, I got to take another step. I got to have a better angle. And that's generally what happens at these practices and preseason games. We just had another practice here today that all sorts of cool moments go in, good competition, bunch of third downs in it. And you just keep gaining confidence and getting ready. And as we'll do that again tomorrow before we kind of flip into, you know, getting ready for New England towards the end of the week.
All right, let's talk Jaden. I want to go back first because you were doing an interview, I think it was with the Junkies, actually, before the draft. And they listed a bunch of quarterback names and said, give us, you know, one-word answers. And they got to Jaden and you said, playmaker. When did you and Adam know that he was your guy? How early on?
Well, I would say Adam had been on him for a while, you know, and so Adam was hired earlier. And so one of the first players that we watched was actually Jaden. I said, let's talk about some quarterbacks. And so he was one of the very first ones he put on. He actually knew so much. We said, hold on, I'm going to put on a game from Arizona State. You know, it was like his freshman year against Oregon and saw him making plays because I remembered him from Alabama and, you know, the SEC of, you know, making plays and, like, big plays, you know, to do things. So I saw the dual threat. I would say what impressed me about him was really, this is going to sound unusual, like the work ethic and the mindset that it's absolutely, you know, he's going to go to any length to compete and find a way. And so I'd heard that from LSU. I'd heard it from Herm, Marvin Lewis. All the people at, you know, the OC who's now at Notre Dame, and they all kind of had this same theme about what he stood for as a competitor. And I saw the tape as the ball player, and that was easy evaluation, Kevin. Probably to find out what the man was like behind the helmet, that was what I was really excited to see. And through the process, I didn't get to see a lot of that because you're, you know, kind of in a controlled interview setting or you're at his pro day or combine. And so during the rookie camp and then through the OTAs, I saw it. You know, it was like so easy to see. He has the confidence of an older player, but the humility and the hard work of a rookie. And I thought, what a great blend of confidence and humility, because if you're too much of one, you know, you come across as an ego, or you come across too much humility and defer everything, oh, whatever you think's best. He has just the right ratio of both, and I think that's why so many of his teammates have gravitated towards him, not because of his talent, but because of, like, the talent, the work ethic, the swagger, like, all that he brings into that position.
You know, what you just said, I literally had here to ask you about, because you said that a few weeks ago, and I wrote it down and I talked about it, because it's such an incredible observation, and it takes somebody like you who's been around young people and coached young people, hitting kind of that inside straight of having the confidence and breeding the confidence among your teammates, but having at the same time that I don't have all the answers humility. And not everybody can hit that, but you're saying he has.
Yeah, because, like, we've all been around people with,
sure,
you know, false confidence that, you know, talking about things like, man, you're so off base right now. Like, I wish you could hear yourself. And you're saying those things, and then tomorrow you're the last one to arrive. And so he's just the opposite of that, where quietly he's the first one here doing the things extra to get ready. But out on the field, it's fun to hear him and Wagner talk a lot across the line of scrimmage. Wagner gives him a little bit. He goes right back to him, you know, to have some fun together. And so that's that confidence and swagger that I said he has. But all the his teammates know the work that he's put in because he can deliver quickly and process it on the field. So I thought Zach Ertz said it best. So many people are saying, this kid's going to be good. He's going to be good. And Zach said, he's already good. And I thought, well said, Zach Ertz, by you recognizing that, you know, all those games that he played, Kevin, during the spring, I kind of saw that experience. You know, like I saw a guy who had started for 5 years in college. He'd seen a lot of looks. Like, he just didn't get rattled very easily. He's got a bit of California cool to him.
Yep.
Where he's just, you know, like, it's hard to, you know, you don't get him out of whack too many times. He's able to handle a lot of those moments, and he's not uptight and, you know, over-trying. He's just, you know, somebody that stays in that pocket of, you know, doing things right, staying after it, and he can really stay into it for a really long time, which not everybody has that kind of focus, but he does. And it was cool to see him go through this process to earn the starting job here. We didn't want to just give it to him if being what our central theme of this program was going to be about is competing, like we weren't going to be true to the program if we didn't have everybody compete. And so that was no different for him. And 10 years from now, I'll look back and say, how do you think Jaden started? You know, like we didn't, you know, get off, you know, after the draft and, okay, you got it. You know, like they had to fight for it. And that's what was so fun. I wanted to see how he would, and he did it remarkably.
So where is he in terms of his readiness for a regular season opener against Tampa? I mean, we all, as NFL fans, understand rookies typically have up and down rookie seasons, you know, especially even the guys that make it big. C.J. Stroud had, you know, start to finish pretty good. But what are your – where is his readiness for the regular season, and then what are your expectations for his rookie season?
Yeah, I wanted to really, Kevin, to stay in the pocket that he's in right now. So – he's playing the position well, and by what I mean by that, you know, if there's a shot down the field to Terry that's covered, he's able to go to the next progression to hit Zach underneath or to hit Eckler out of the backfield or Brian. So that's playing the position. So I want to make sure that he just stays in that pocket of his decision-making and knowing when to go, where to go with the ball, in and out of plays. So that's my expectations for him, is not to over-try, to stay in this pocket where he's at, because the things that he does really well, we're going to feature. So I want him to, you know, don't have to put the cape on and play out of his mind. He's got to play his way, which is really consistently good, and that's what I'm looking for from him.
Is there an advantage when you are a new coaching staff with, by the way, a brand-new quarterback, in preparation for an opener, meaning that they don't know what they're preparing for, Tampa does, but you know what you're preparing for because they've brought back essentially the same team. Does that create an advantage for week one or not?
I hope so. I would say anytime you have the element of some surprise, you like it, because even when you play your own division, and let's have a new wrinkle up for these guys. Let's have something they haven't seen before. So I think that's pretty common, Kevin, you know, amongst all the games. But as you go into an opener, there's definitely things that we're doing that the first time Tampa will see some of that will be at the game. And I think that's true early on in the season, you know, for most teams. But you know, at the end of it, man, it's going to just come down to us, you know, playing our way and getting that play style underway and making sure, like, every single time we get it on, like, this is how we do business. And the more we learn how to do that, you know, the better we'll get. And so, but guys like Jaden and, you know, the offensive guys here, they're really putting in work. If you were to come out to practice and see it, they're absolutely going for it.
Last preseason game is Sunday night. How many of the 53 spots that you have to cut down to by Tuesday at 4 p.m. are legitimately undecided?
There's quite a few, honestly, and which is good in a lot of ways because you're talking about the fourth and fifth corner and fourth and fifth wideout and who's going to be this tackle and backups here to there. Good news is I think we're kind of settling in on the starters, but call those starters, let's call them 15 starters on each side. You know, it's the complementary blocking tight end, it's this person, the third receiver, the second back, you know, some pass rushers, the third safety. So all of those guys will have significant roles. What we are excited to find out and still working through it, there's some good stuff on the return game that we're digging in on. We've got Jamison Crowder who's here. He's got great return stuff, but the kickoff and kickoff return is really a new thing, and we're digging in hard on that. We're finding out who can cover. I think we've got a rookie class that you and the fans are going to be proud of. They're mature, they're hardworking, and they'll have significant roles with the team. So there may be guys whose roles emerge, Kevin, even though it's not just the 53. In other words, as the seasons go, I could see some people's roles increasing with more experience and playing time, and that's to be expected for some of the rookies that are developing their role on the team. So 53, I'm guessing maybe 5 to 7 that we're digging in on, and then individual roles for the team, a lot of that has not been established yet about what it will look like during the season. That'll take a few weeks.
You know, the kickoff return is so interesting. I mean, everybody's still figuring it out. We saw the data that came out yesterday in terms of the increase of overall returns and a little bit more explosiveness to it. Do you have it figured out yet or not on coverage and returns?
Yep. Definitely not. And I haven't seen the data that you're referring to yet. But no, there's so much more to dig into. The kicks in the air, the kicks on the ground. The way that you cover, do you twist, do you keep it right, directional kicks. So definitely not have it figured out, but honestly, that's kind of part of the fun to dig in and find new ways. So we'll go after it. We've got kickoff and kickoff return again tomorrow, and then obviously we'll get some more in the game. But I would bet that of the other 31 special teams coaches, there's some things they're keeping under the vest, so to speak, before the regular season begins. Just to refer to what you said, not to allow some new things out. But I think it is going to add an element of excitement to the team. And I think with the group that we have that can really run and hit and cover our special teams, they're really going to be a group that that is featured here and able to help us win by creating field position. And there's so many cool spots to still figure out, man. So let's dig in and go for it. And like we're still in a camp mode today, tomorrow here. As we get into Saturday, late Friday and Saturday, we'll begin the preparation for New England. And we're excited, man, to be here and be here in this stadium as the home team. My first time doing that, man, I'm pretty lit up about that.
Just over 2 weeks until the opener at Tampa. Just over 3 weeks until your first home opener against the Giants. Thanks so much. Really appreciate the time. Wish you the best.
You got it, Kevin. Talk to you soon, man.
Dan Quinn, everybody, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Again, and I mentioned this in the open, we recorded that interview yesterday. There were about 4 minutes worth of kicker conversation, but that became irrelevant when they traded for Cade York this morning. No, he did not tell me in the 4 minutes that we were talking about Riley Patterson and the potential, you know, waiver wire possibilities, even, you know, suggested the possibility of a trade, that he didn't, there wasn't much there other than it was in flux and it was fluid. And one of the things he did say is this is the kind of situation that will be fluid through the first few weeks of the season. And I think we can all see that. Like if Cade York ends up kicking against Tampa Bay and doesn't kick well, they're going to have a kicker on that practice squad for the first few weeks of the season, if not the entire season. Who knows? But That will be a fluid situation, and he did emphasize that. But that's why you didn't hear any of the conversation about Cade York, because we recorded it yesterday. There were a couple of things he said that I thought were interesting. I want to follow up on that. And I learned something yesterday about the new kickoff rule. One of the big concerns is that teams will just revert to kicking it through the end zone and forcing a touchback and have the ball come out to the 30. But there's another big concern that's developed in the league about this new kickoff rule with respect to the returns. And I'll tell you what that is when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Big news of the day for the Commanders. They traded a conditional seventh-round pick to the Browns for kicker Cade York. Cade York was losing the competition with former Commanders kicker Dustin Hopkins, but they're going to bring him in and see him kick this weekend against New England. In Major League Baseball, Nats get back in the win column with a 6-1 win over the Colorado Rockies. Mitchell Parker had the best performance from a national pitcher in weeks, going seven innings, allowing one run on five hits and striking out six. Luis Garcia crushed a three-run homer in the third inning. In college football, Kirk Ferentz and an Iowa assistant, John Budmeier, had been suspended one game for the recruitment of quarterback Cade McNamara when he was in the transfer portal. The NFL, Broncos named Bo Nix QB1 ahead of their final preseason game. And that's what's trending.
So it's clear they don't have the whole kickoff return thing figured out yet. I learned yesterday in a conversation that I had with somebody who knows how the league office and the competition committee and how coaches around the league have viewed the first 2 weeks of this new kickoff rule, that one of the concerns is that ultimately, if the average starting field position is right around the 30, give or take a couple of yards, but the increase in explosive returns is profound, the teams will just kick the ball into the end zone and say, go ahead and start at the 30. And then the competition committee and the league will have to decide whether or not they will punish the touchback kick even more so by bringing the ball out to the 35. But the other big concern is holding on the return. It was explained to me that, you know, when you look at this, you know, formation, there are 10 kick coverage guys lined up at the 40-yard line, right? You've seen it. They're lined up at the 40-yard line, 10 guys, the kicker's back at the 35, and the return team basically can put between 7 and 9, 5 yards away. Not at the line of scrimmage, 5 yards away. And the players that are being used on kick coverage return are players that aren't big, hefty dudes. They're fast, they're athletic, and they're impossible to keep from breaking through that first line of defense without grabbing and holding. Now, I didn't go through all of the games. Washington, you know, had, remember, there haven't been a lot of points scored in their two games, but there was one holding on a return by Miami on Saturday. But that's something to monitor. If the kick return units, if that front line, if the only way they can stop the 10 players in front of them from getting through is by grabbing them and there's holding on every turn, every return, it won't be a fun play to watch. With that said, doesn't it seem like, as NFL fans anyway, that punt returns and kickoff returns nearly always end with a flag? It seems like that. But they're concerned about that, and I think what you'll end up seeing is the kickoff return unit not put more than 7, which is required. You have to have the minimum of 7 at the 35-yard line, and then they'll stack 2 players behind the 7 to try to account for the guys that break through that first line. It's 10 on 7, Denton, right? Are you picturing, maybe I'm not doing a great job here, but 10 players on the kickoff team have to line up at the 40. But the players closest to them aren't at the line of scrimmage. They're 5 yards back, right? And they're outnumbered 10 to 7, best case. And so they can't keep them from busting through easily, and now you've got a shorter amount of space to cover to get to the returners, because they used to start back at the 35. their own 35. Anyway, that's a concern that apparently is out there about this return and whether or not it's going to result in a ton of holding penalties, which would, you know, nullify some of the excitement of the return. All right. So I thought that one of the things, there were a couple of things that he said, Quinn said to me that I made note of. Number one is this. I do think it's interesting to hear from the coaches who really do kind of get a little bit, you know, pumped up during the preseason and talk about it in not definitive terms, but when they're public, they tend to be, you know, we've heard a lot of optimism from Dan Quinn about everything in this preseason so far. And to hear him essentially say, look, you're right, you don't learn that much until you play a real game, but you have to lay the foundation of winning habits. And I think I understand that. But then I asked him how long it takes before you realize what your team is, how many games into the season. And that answer actually went from, it probably takes half the season before you really figure out what you have. And then at the very end, he said, you know, at least a quarter of the season before you know. But the key is you've got to, what he said, is you've got to face adversity. You've got to go through those adverse moments, and that's when you learn what you have. And you can't possibly face those moments in preseason games or in joint practices because the score isn't that relevant. And the players on the field aren't the players on the field that will be determining wins and losses when you get to the regular season. You know, we've talked about this many times over the years. Like, as fans, we don't have anything figured out until at least halfway through the season. I mean, and even then, sometimes things change dramatically. And a lot of times the changes come because of injuries, significant injuries. But sometimes it's not even injuries. You know, and sometimes with new teams and new quarterbacks in particular, you know, significant pieces that are new, it takes time. And that's why during the early portion of the season, we have to remember that one result can't sway your overall opinion of somebody going in, whether it's the coach, whether it's either one of the coordinators, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's Frankie Louver or Bobby Wagner or Jeremy Chinn. It'll take some time. They've got to play in a real, we're trying to win the game environment, and then face those moments of, uh-oh, we may be on the verge of losing this game. Things are not going well. How do we handle that? And he said, you know, take somewhere between a quarter of the season and half the season to kind of figure out what you have, because you've got to go through those moments. And then he did talk about, you know, the specific number of spots that are up for grabs here over the final few days and then the final preseason game against New England. He said 5 to 7 spots. But what he really emphasized, and I thought it was interesting, is just that the individual roles for the players that make the team, they haven't been determined yet. All of them haven't been determined, and that's going to take a few weeks into the season to figure out. And I think that's such an interesting thing, because when you have a new coaching staff who are exposed to these players as a group together for the first time, and you don't know anything until you start playing real games, and it takes a quarter of the season to maybe half the season to figure out what you have, there are a lot of players that may start off the year in positions in which they are, you know, based on the depth chart, expected to produce at a high level. And then by the time we get to the quarter pole or the halfway pole, we've got 4 or 5 guys that weren't even active or weren't contributing, and were really down the depth chart on the 53 or the 46 that were active on game day, that end up emerging as the players that end up impressing the coaches to the point where these are the guys we think we can win with. And I think a lot of that, you know, is at wide receiver. I think a lot of that is at corner, and I think a lot of that will be at defensive end. You know, sure, they acquired Dorrance Armstrong and Cleveland Farrell and Dante Fowler, But, you know, at least according to some of the advanced numbers, which, again, I take it with a grain of salt when it comes to the preseason games. But you know who's been the highest rated defensive end on the team in preseason so far? And it's not even close. KJ Henry. I loved KJ Henry last year. I think he is quick twitch and is bendable and has some moves as a pass rusher. But what does it really mean? Who's he really going against, you know, when he's in there? But, yeah, it's – and he mentioned it specifically, the individuals. Like, he kind of slipped in that there's a rookie presence. So, you know, I think Jordan McGee, as an example, is a guy that they have high hopes for. But he's probably not going to be available to play because of injury early in the season. But he could be a guy by the time we get to November or December ends up being a significant contributor. But I think – wide receiver is in flux, corner is in flux, and certainly the whole return area is a bit in flux, and, you know, obviously kicker's in flux too. And it's not like when they cut down to 53 and they've got the active 46 on game day that means, okay, that's it. They're just going to give guys the opportunities early in the season based on, you know, slight leans. But it'll be subject to change, as it should be. But even more so, it will be in this situation because everything's so new, and this is the first time they've been together. And I like the fact that he's optimistic about the winning habits that are being laid down right now. You know, the sense of urgency, the getting along, the, you know, the kind of guys that they want in the culture that they're trying to reshape. But like anything, including your own lives at work, you don't really know what you have until that person is faced with adversity. And by the way, same goes for the coach. You know, like they start off 0-3. You know, they lose to Tampa and then they lose to the Giants and then they are coming off a Monday night loss to Cincinnati 0-3. How does he handle it? He's handled it pretty well in his career. That's, you know, he's got a track record for being pretty even-keeled and figuring things out. All right, Chris Cooley did a film analysis of Jaden Daniels and the three series that he's played in the preseason. You will hear what he thinks next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's clear they don't have the whole kickoff return thing figured out yet. I learned yesterday in a conversation that I had with somebody who knows how the league office and the competition committee and how coaches around the league have viewed the first 2 weeks of this new kickoff rule, that one of the concerns is that ultimately if the average starting field position is right around the 30, give or take a couple of yards, but the increase in explosive returns is profound, the teams will just kick the ball into the end zone and say, go ahead and start at the 30. And then the competition committee and the league will have to decide whether or not they will punish the touchback kick even more so by bringing the ball out to the 35. But the other big concern is holding on the return. It was explained to me that, you know, when you look at this, you know, formation, there are 10 kick coverage guys lined up at the 40-yard line, right? You've seen it. They're lined up at the 40-yard line, 10 guys, the kicker's back at the 35, and the return team basically can put between 7 and 9, 5 yards away, not at the line of scrimmage, 5 yards away, and the players that are being used on kick coverage return are players that aren't big, hefty dudes. They're fast, they're athletic, and they're impossible to keep from breaking through that first line of defense without grabbing and holding. Now, I didn't go through all of the games. Washington, you know, had it. Remember, there haven't been a lot of points scored in their two games, but there was one holding on a return by Miami on Saturday. But that's something to monitor. If the kick return units, if that front line, if the only way they can stop the 10 players in front of them from getting through is by grabbing them and there's holding on every return, it won't be a fun play to watch. With that said, doesn't it seem like, as NFL fans anyway, that punt returns and kickoff returns nearly always end with a flag? It seems like that, but they're concerned about that, and I think what you'll end up seeing is the kickoff return unit not put more than 7, which is required. You have to have the minimum of 7 at the 35-yard line, and then they'll stack 2 players behind the 7 to try to account for the guys that break through that first line. It's 10 on 7, Denton, right? Are you picturing? Maybe I'm not doing a great job here. But 10 players on the kickoff team have to line up at the 40. But the players closest to them aren't at the line of scrimmage. They're 5 yards back, right? And they're outnumbered 10 to 7, best case. And so they can't keep them from busting through easily, and now you've got a shorter amount of space to cover to get to the returners because they used to start back at the 35, their own 35. Anyway, that's a concern that apparently is out there about this return and whether or not it's going to result in a ton of holding penalties, which would, you know, nullify some of the excitement of the return. All right. So I thought that one of the things, there were a couple of things that Quinn said to me that I made note of. Number one is this. I do think it's interesting to hear from the coaches who really do kind of get a little bit, you know, pumped up during the preseason and talk about it in not definitive terms, but when they're public, they tend to be, you know, we've heard a lot of optimism from Dan Quinn about everything in this preseason so far. And to hear him essentially say, look, you're right, you don't learn that much until you play a real game, but you have to lay the foundation of winning habits. And I think I understand that. But then I asked him how long it takes before you realize what your team is, how many games into the season. And that answer actually went from, it probably takes half the season before you really figure out what you have. And then at the very end, he said, you know, at least a quarter of the season before you know. But the key is you've got to, what he said, is you've got to face adversity. You've got to go through those adverse moments, and that's when you learn what you have. And you can't possibly face those moments in preseason games or in joint practices because the score isn't that relevant. And the players on the field aren't the players on the field that will be determining wins and losses when you get to the regular season. You know, we've talked about this many times over the years. Like, as fans, we don't have anything figured out until at least halfway through the season. I mean, and even then, sometimes things change dramatically. And a lot of times the changes come because of injuries, significant injuries. But sometimes it's not even injuries. You know, and sometimes with new teams and new quarterbacks in particular, you know, significant pieces that are new, it takes time. And that's why during the early portion of the season, we have to remember that one result can't sway your overall opinion of somebody going in, whether it's the coach, whether it's either one of the coordinators, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's Frankie Louver or Bobby Wagner or Jeremy Chinn. It'll take some time. They've got to play in a real, we're trying to win the game environment, and then face those moments of, uh-oh, we may be on the verge of losing this game. Things are not going well. How do we handle that? And he said, you know, take somewhere between a quarter of the season and half the season to kind of figure out what you have, because you've got to go through those moments. And then he did talk about, you know, the specific number of spots that are up for grabs here over the final few days and then the final preseason game against New England. He said 5 to 7 spots. But what he really emphasized, and I thought it was interesting, is just that the individual roles for the players that make the team, they haven't been determined yet. All of them haven't been determined, and that's going to take a few weeks into the season to figure out. And I think that's such an interesting thing, because when you have a new coaching staff who are exposed to these players as a group together for the first time, and you don't know anything until you start playing real games, and it takes a quarter of the season to maybe half the season to figure out what you have, there are a lot of players that may start off the year in positions in which they are, you know, based on the depth chart, expected to produce at a high level. And then by the time we get to the quarter pole or the halfway pole, we've got 4 or 5 guys that weren't even active or weren't contributing, and were really down the depth chart on the 53 or the 46 that were active on game day, that end up emerging as the players that end up impressing the coaches to the point where these are the guys we think we can win with. And I think a lot of that, you know, is at wide receiver. I think a lot of that is at corner, and I think a lot of that will be at defensive end. You know, sure, they acquired Dorrance Armstrong and Cleveland Farrell and Dante Fowler. But, you know, at least according to some of the advanced numbers, which, again, I take it with a grain of salt when it comes to the preseason games. But you know who's been the highest rated defensive end on the team in preseason so far? And it's not even close. KJ Henry. I loved KJ Henry last year. I think he is quick twitch and is bendable and has some moves as a pass rusher. But what does it really mean? Who's he really going against, you know, when he's in there? But, Yeah, it's, and he mentioned it specifically, the individuals, like he kind of slipped in that there's a rookie presence. So, you know, I think Jordan McGee, as an example, is a guy that they have high hopes for. But he's probably not going to be available to play because of injury early in the season. But he could be a guy by the time we get to November or December ends up being a significant contributor. But I think wide receiver is in flux. Corner is in flux. And certainly the whole return area is a bit in flux. And, you know, obviously kicker's in flux too. And it's not like when they cut down to 53 and they've got the active 46 on game day that means, okay, that's it. They're just going to give guys the opportunities early in the season based on, you know, slight leans, but it'll be subject to change, as it should be. But even more so, it will be in this situation because everything's so new and this is the first time they've been together. And I like the fact that he's optimistic about the winning habits that are being laid down right now. You know, the sense of urgency, the getting along, the kind of guys that they want in the culture that they're trying to reshape. But like anything, including your own lives at work, you don't really know what you have until that person is faced with adversity. And by the way, same goes for the coach. You know, like they start off 0-3. You know, they lose to Tampa and then they lose to the Giants and then they are coming off a Monday night loss to Cincinnati 0-3. How does he handle it? He's handled it pretty well in his career. That's, you know, he's got a track record for being pretty even keeled and figuring things out. All right, Chris Cooley did a film analysis of Jaden Daniels and the three series that he's played in the preseason. You will hear what he thinks next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.